swimming pool with nobody. We heard you missed us. We're back. It's live from the Five Hole. Faxes from UncleDale.com's and the Sam Fells, but who's buying newsletters? Official weekly podcast. I am Sam Fells of that newsletter. Your host. You can find me on Blue Sky at Fells Gate. We're coming to you somewhat a day later than usual. Sometimes we do Wednesdays record, sometimes we do Tuesdays. Today, this week, it's Wednesdays, but we're still coming after a Bears win, so of course, we are in fatal four-way formation, so we have the usual crew. Leading off with Dr. Viral, he's the biggest jackass, no talent in the business, and he's the CEO of WBCW and Wrestling Brain's Twitch channel every Monday night, 10 Eastern, 9 Central, 7 in the West. You can find him on Blue Sky at Torque Penderloin. It's Andrew Cieslak.
We may see Illini Corner get canceled in real time tonight, so that's kind of fun.
John doesn't seem to think that's going to happen. He was a little more bullish before you signed on.
Oh, really? All right. I hope he's right.
We'll get to him in a minute. We don't want to bring him in too soon. He's working the ones and twos for us tonight. He's our supervising technician. He's our technical supervisor. He's Hollywood's go-to grizzled crank. You can find him on Blue Sky at Matt McClure, but please don't. It's Matt McClure.
Party on, Wayne.
Party on, Garth. And last but not least, he is the archivist. He is the goal line assassin. He is the Oracle of Humboldt Park. And you can't find him, on Blue Sky at Fifth Feather, but he might find you. He's lurking in the night. It's Fifth Feather, John.
Me and my internet hamster are bullish on Illini Buckets right now.
He's bullish on Illini Buckets at the moment, but he'll chime in every so often to keep the kids posted so they can listen to you guys in real time, because we don't do a YouTube portion of this like everyone else.
Just hear our voices. It's an all-time smelly team this year, so we're very excited.
Yeah, my father would love it. Would have loved it.
Too balcony.
Not enough ottomans.
Or couches, yeah.
Oh, boy. Already off the rails.
Sam, I have a question for you to kick it off.
Of course you do.
I am detecting a little bit of less excitement than you should have for a 7-3 Bears team.
I need you to tell me why. Well, part of that is as I am a little under the weather. So it's hard for me to sound as excited as I should be.
I'm under the weather too, but I'm still red and nude and
God, you're both running, so fucking
running
tough.
Through cars.
We have a question
running
about
through the, cars.
Running through cars. Well, he's weaving through traffic. He's not running through them like Wolverine. I hope.
Or the Juggernaut, bitch.
No, like a Wile E. Coyote.
Yeah. I can't find the right adjective, John. So let me set it up and we can find it together.
Good.
After the Giants win, I said, well, you know what? They had the very dramatic, exciting, weird, stupid Bears win in Cincinnati. They come home, a little deflation, a little bit of a come down, a worse performance than that. Okay, I get it. That's cool. I can't quite pass two of those in a row. Because that Viking team stinks.
And on one side of the ball.
I just don't agree. Yeah, I don't agree with that at all. J.J. McCarthy stinks.
He certainly stinks. I don't want to make it seem like I think the Bears laid a turd and they happen to just get lucky. I don't think that. I don't even know that underwhelmed wouldn't be too strong of a word. I was just hoping for a little more. I'm still excited about 7-3.
Joel Quenville's more.
You know, it was just because at halftime, you're like, all right, 10-3 could have been a little better, but they're going to come out and they're just going to end this. And they didn't end it. And they let that little weasel put together, you know, one drive.
Enough with the goddamn eye black, white boys.
And I know they saved it at the end, and that's good. And I like the win, but I'm not as, you know, it wasn't as gratifying as the wins that came before it. Let me put it that way.
I want to be
clear-eyed about the Bears here. If this were not the Bears and we were watching them from afar, if they were, you know, I thought about this earlier. I was trying to think of an NFL team we're not emotionally involved with. And it's hard to come up with one. Because we, you know, it's either the Bears or we hate everyone else. You know, if you'd watched every Chargers game and it looked like this and they were 7-3, what is it we would say?
It kind of does, though. And they are 7-3.
Yeah. I would say similar. Well, I would think maybe last year's Commanders team, I think, is probably a good comparison because they were kind of around the same thing. They were winning some games that they probably were. It could have gone either way.
And we would show up here every week and yell
And bitch about it. Yes, we were mad because we wanted it, Sam.
No, I don't think that's correct either. Like, it's always in the middle, right? And I'm not here. I get annoyed when people are in a rush to call this team a fraud because I don't think anyone's claiming they're anything. Like, no. It's not like Bears fans are all over everywhere, chests out, saying we're going to the Super Bowl. I think everyone's got a pretty good handle on this, or at least a handle on what it's not. I'm not sure I have a handle on what it is.
I think it's a growing team.
Okay.
That's not even close to its final form at this point. That is still, you have a head coach who's still feeling his way around. In terms of being the guy in charge of the organization, and you have a young quarterback in essentially the first year of a system, so basically a rookie season, again finding his way, and they at this point, as they still are finding their way, they're a top five offense in terms of yardage gained per week and points scored.
And this is all true, and I don't want to.
There's always that.
I'm not looking for style points in these wins.
No, I understand what you're saying.
But there was something more upsetting about Sunday, and maybe even upsetting the way that unfolded. Like it shouldn't have got to that. You know?
No. Yeah. No. I agree, and I think the other thing that I've been thinking is like, okay, at some point this has to. It has in football, everything turns quickly, right? Like you don't get. Like in baseball or hockey, where you get the full season to kind of find your way. You have to turn it, or everything has to turn quickly, like within a couple of weeks. And now we're in, I think week 3 or 4, where there's an opponent that you could have won by a few scores. And it took to the last possession, which is not unusual for the NFL, but it would be nice to be at that level where you're already putting teams away when you have the opportunity to.
Who's putting teams away in a dominant fashion weekly, I guess? And I know that's not what you're saying, Sam, but
it's not about
every week. And it's, you know, the Cincinnati game is just so stupid. Like I don't even think about that. I'm just talking about this game here because the Bears had the ball 5 times where they could have ended the game. Even the drive after that starts the second half, it's only 10-3. If you go down and make that 17-3, it's over. Game's over. So, and they didn't do it. And then, you know, it was sort of frustrating because, like, it wasn't like one big mistake or this or that. It was just like, it kind of just kept building. And it's like this, I just thought they'd be a little beyond. It doesn't mean I want the bit, I'm disappointed. Like, oh, if they didn't win that game 31-10, it's a failure. It was just like it felt like the first game where they had multiple opportunities to just make this easy.
That end game sequence where they had to go get down the field and kick the field goal wouldn't have happened if Cairo didn't miss the other field goal. I mean, it's like the margins are so simple, but also it's like the Ravens game. They had what, 4 or 5 red zone opportunities they couldn't cash in. Right. And so there's like a theme of we're close. We need to score touchdowns. Mm-hmm. Not kick field goals, but like that feels like a bridge you can cross as you continue to like figure out how to do it. I just think like the Bears of your, you're basically sitting there going like, there's this is bullshit, this sucks. Mm-hmm. With these guys, you're like, well, this is pretty significant. Like this is pretty easy to figure out what is missing. And it's an upside that is achievable. Where it's very easy to see what it looks like as it gels. And
I think Slack, part of my frustration with Sunday is that it does feel so close, right? Like that should be
you channeling frustration into like, I can't wait to see what this looks like next week.
It's both. It's both. Okay. It's impatience is all it is, really, right? Because, like, you're watching Sunday's game and you're like, man, they're like one red zone touchdown away, and it's all of a sudden it's 23-3 and we're all kicking our feet up and John's actually running through cars. He's dissecting them right down the middle, right down the gear shift there.
Well, that's the thing. When you hear fraudulent Bears team or whatever, when you're watching the games, you're not watching this game going, this team sucks. I cannot believe that we're even in this game.
Right.
That's not the feeling.
They're the team that's dragging along a team that sucks.
Exactly.
Which is a different level in the NFL. And it's like one of two levels. You're either the team that's being dragged along because you suck, or you're the one dragging along a team that sucks because you're not quite good enough to put them away. And there's like two teams that just put them away, and they change every week. But you're right. It's like, if, you know, Cairo makes the field goal he misses. And look, your kicker going 4 of 5 on field goals isn't like abnormal.
It's not even catastrophic. It's just
right. But like, okay, it's now 19-3. They drive for that first touchdown, and it's like, well, now they got to onside kick it, you know, or they get it to 19-17, you know, or whatever. You get the onside kick and you cover. Well, maybe they recover it. We don't know.
This was my yellow pad, Sam. So I'm glad you brought us here. The thing that I've been thinking about, exactly what you said. So let's say they did have it 19-3. Minnesota still comes back to score to make it 19-10, and then they make it 19-17 with 50 seconds left. Would you rather have the game lie in the hands of the special teams there?
I mean, the special teams won the game. Kick,
or would you rather just be down one and have the offense have the ball with 50 seconds left and all three timeouts? Would make you feel more comfortable? There's no way that game wasn't going to come down to a final possession, just the way the NFL was.
That's just the way the NFL works. But like, an onside kick, even with the Bears special teams, okay, it's like all you got to do. You got to make one play that's pretty simple to win it, and you've already learned your lesson from not doing it.
Right.
Whereas, as much as I trust Caleb or the offense the last few minutes, they still have to string together like four plays to win. So you'd rather just take the one play to clinch it, even if it's the Bears special teams. I get it.
I don't know.
Understand.
And the defense had their chance to close it out, and they were unable to do it.
Yeah,
a minute left, a minute and a half left, and they couldn't get off the field. That would have ended – essentially would have ended the game, because I think Minnesota had either all three or two of their timeouts still. So the Bears would have had to have run at least a third down play. They wouldn't have been able to run out the clock. So the defense had the chance to get off the field. They couldn't do it. So now you're at a point where would you rather have the special teams win it by recovering an onside kick, or would you rather be in a position where the offense – to me right now, the offense is where all my confidence is at.
I understand,
which is an insane thing to say as a Bears fan. And I also think that part of just associating this Bears team with Bears teams of the past, which is completely unfair, mm-hmm. because there's just, they're winning games that maybe they shouldn't, but they're gaining 350 yards of offense every time. I mean, we're not talking about Devin Hester returning three touchdowns and the defense holding the team to 120 yards and your quarterback not being able to throw for more than 2 yards a pop. That's not what this Bears team is. You have an offense that can move the ball up and down the field. Their issue is not being able to put it in the end zone for whatever reason.
But that's not a small issue.
No, it's not a small issue, but like to Andrew's point, like that's something that's more than likely going to get fixed at some point. Like you'd rather have a team that can move the ball up and down the field and figure out how to score rather than a team that can't do either.
Yeah, it's weird. It's like I get that. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I wasn't watching the game frustrated at the end, right? Like that was obviously a difficult watch because you're like, I really cannot believe they're going to lose to this guy. He's so bad. So bad, but the defense is not good and the Vikings defense is extremely good. And so you kind of have that convergence of two things happening where you get to these one score finishes, and that happens in almost every game every week with obviously, you know, some exceptions. And it's interesting because it's like, what are for us to say, like, they should be scoring 45 points a game. and winning by 30 against everyone, home and away, it's just not realistic.
I mean, that's not what I'm saying, and I don't
know that's what you're not saying, but like you're not saying it, but like that is the only. Like, obviously, if they get four or five red zone opportunities game and they score touchdowns on all of them, you're scoring 30-plus points per game. And that's excellent. So you're gonna win almost every game you play.
Right,
the Bears they're the Bears still. They're just not – no, sorry, they're not the Bears. They're winning one-score games in that – what do you call it? The blob. So they're the team in the blob that has the seven wins because they have a coach who gets to the end of the game – with his timeouts, as opposed to the last dipshit. They have a quarterback who knows how to move the ball and has a very good clutch gene or whatever you want to call it. And he's learning how to win. And like those things make them better than other teams in these situations. We talked about this last year and coming into this year before I did my 0-17 bit. But the whole point was last year's team, if you had a competent baseline head coach instead of the worst head coach in the history of NFL head coaches, you win three or four more games because those games that the Bears are winning this year, they lost all of them last year.
And this is largely the exact same roster.
We said this exact thing, and it's already happened. They've already won all the games that Eberflus blew.
Right. They're already past that point. I mean,
it's incredible.
And an offense in the top half of the league in almost every statistical category.
It's truly insane what's happening. And I think, like, in the moment, like, I think John said this too, like, the games get more satisfying with a little bit of space from them ending.
Correct.
So
right.
You watch the game, you're watching it happen, you're like, this is pissing me off. They kick the field goal. I didn't even celebrate at the end of the game. I was like, thank fucking God. And, you know, kind of walked away and ate some chicken. But, like, Monday, Tuesday, today's Wednesday. I'm like, man, the Vikings don't know what they're going to do about quarterback for like their entire franchise. Kevin O'Connell is tearing his hair out. Justin Jefferson wants to commit homicide. Like, this is fantastic. And the Bears won that game. And they're just thinking about, you know, what's next. They're thinking about Aaron Rodgers playing. They're thinking about, can we beat Pittsburgh? Can we win our eighth game? It's just like, winning those games is everything.
Right.
And if you win them with style or not, it doesn't fucking matter. It really doesn't.
I agree with you that all the wins that, you know, the Saints win, the Giants win, the Bengals win, the wins that were dumb, you know, Washington's on there, Dallas isn't on that list.
The Raiders was probably the dumbest one.
The Raiders one's dumb, but I agree with you that, you know, even if I thought this is stupid, like in the during it, as Monday, Tuesday came along, I would feel better. And this week I just didn't. And I was trying to figure out.
Cause you're sick.
Why? Well, I am sick.
No, I understand Sam's impatience. I think my Spilkus, and if I really have to sit and worry about it, would be like, okay, well, what if that offensive well dries out and they can't gain yardage? Then they're kind of like back at where they are, because that's why you kind of want to see them break through at some point to score a bunch of points.
Right, they're like teetering on the edge of both.
Mm-hmm.
When in the history of Ben Johnson calling plays for any team have they not been able to flat out just not been able to move the ball though?
Correct. No, I know, right. And you're right. And again, it's just Bear Spilkus.
Let me point something else out too. Like, you had a couple of missed long ball opportunities from Caleb. I think Ben pointed out the second one was the one he was concerned about, not the first one. You had another game with 4+ drops, really evident bad drops.
Mm-hmm.
And they're still putting up a lot of yards and they're still winning games. So like this stuff is like so close, and it, when it happens, it's going – I mean, obviously, it'll feel like the Dallas game. It's just going to feel like Nicolas Cage stepping off the plane.
Mm-hmm. Every game's going to be a party.
It's just going to be incredible. And I think I've made this comment before, maybe not on this podcast, but in general. Like, if you are thinking that something good might happen in the near future, I think you need to give yourself a few minutes to imagine that it is happening and live in that moment for a little bit and say, this is what it's going to feel like when this happens. So that way, if it doesn't happen, you at least get to pretend like it's happening for a few minutes. But also,
and let
like,
the record show Andrew's being very vague. He's not talking about any one person in particular that we all think about it happening to at all times.
and you know, like that, like is this is an opportunity for all of us to be a little more optimistic and just like really see, like this could be a long stretch of very good football for us. And by long, I'm talking like 5, 6, 8 years or whatever. Yeah.
Like I said, every game is a party. The Pope's inviting people over to watch.
That's how you know.
Mm-hmm. And everybody's having a great time every Sunday.
He's bringing like 8 jerseys.
Yeah.
He's sending out the Evite as just an audience with Bob.
He's shooting jerseys out of a giant t-shirt cannon because he's got so many of them.
From the Vatican into Rome.
Wearing the mitre.
He's got 12 cell phones all set up to leave comments on every Bears post-game show.
Sam, do you think they got him a Totti jersey yet?
I would hope, but...
You got to get one of those.
Maybe the Pope can't pick sides in Rome. I don't know. Yeah, it's a lot of bear spilkus that's just residue from years and years of doing this.
And that's fine, but I think it's good spilkus.
Yeah. It should be. And like Slack, I'm usually right there with you. I don't complain about wins. We're not in any position to complain about wins. If you're complaining about wins, shut up. Like it's a win. We're Bears fans. We don't get these a lot, you know.
Not just a win. A road division win. That is
a road division. Yeah, it's a road division win. They don't win there very often. And I was like, you know, it was just like we're doing this. You know, it was this time. It felt unnecessary. I guess is the point. It's like all the other dumb. Like okay, I could see why.
Yeah,
ended up the way it did. You know, even the Bengals game. It's like all right, well, yeah, but they got those two guys, and I guess I can see it. This one was like this is completely unnecessary.
And I think
it doesn't.
Like, I get what you're saying. I think the whole point is, like, even though it felt that way in the moment, where we are today is that the Vikings are in complete disarray.
Yeah. Started to put the dirt on them.
Even though they had the moment of, oh, might he be the comeback guy again? Like, maybe he's got this in him. Like, even though he scored, he led them to that touchdown. Doesn't matter. They are like, we are fucked. This is not sustainable. This quarterback is bad.
Drew McGarry's going to have another stroke.
We talked about this repeatedly. The fourth quarter comeback to tie or win a game count, we almost have to eliminate that as a measure for quarterbacks. It's nice, but like everyone does it. Like the
especially the way they measure it too.
Right. Like Caleb gets a comeback drive for that and he didn't throw the ball.
Right. Right. Exactly.
But like,
you know
the way,
what, you know what though, you know what he didn't do?
Turn the ball over.
Yeah, turn it over. He continues to not do that. And right. I think like for any missed balls or what have you, like, man, that is insanely important. And I don't know that he gets enough credit for it. Like, look at J.J. McCarthy just sailing balls into nowhere and sometimes into the Bears' arms. Like, it's a really big deal that he doesn't do that.
Yeah, anyway. I mean, I'm just saying, like, if you're watching any football game and it comes down to last drive and it's about getting a field goal or a touchdown, like, it's an upset when they don't get it. You know, like stoning like offenses now with the way the game is called and the way defenses are set up for four downs, like until you get to the red zone when like things shrink, it almost feels impossible. I mean, even if that doofus can even do it, like it's just not like that big a deal.
Well, it wasn't a game winning drive, so
no, it wasn't.
He didn't do anything at the end of the day.
No, he cost his team the game.
They didn't win. So therefore,
he cost his team the game. Like, I'm sure there are Viking fans sitting out there going, "The Bears were there for the taking. They only scored 16 points before the last drive.
Great, you should have taken it then." But
right,
I'm just
flipping. I'm not trying to.
Oh, I know you're not. I'm yelling at Vikings fans in this scenario,
right.
Not you.
No, so I'm just saying, like we said, J.J. McCarthy will suck. He does suck. He's going to continue to suck.
Once again, Sam is right in his analysis.
It's the one time I'm right in my football analysis. I'm still can't get over how shocked I was about his pre-draft buzz. I couldn't believe it.
Or this offseason, right. Based on nothing, based on a season missed entirely to injury.
Yeah, because of a preseason game against the Raiders. Sorry,
I think the next really great forward-thinking GM in the NFL will like just not go to the combine.
Can I give you guys some fourth quarter comeback information?
Please. Absolutely.
Because we talked about this. And it's like, it doesn't count, whatever. Okay, so per Pro Football Reference, not PFF, PFR, the good old stats, the counting stats that we love. The most fourth quarter comebacks in a single season all time is two guys tied at the top. One is 2022's Kirk Cousins with 8. One of those Viking team that just won a bunch of games by one score. The other one is Matthew Stafford in 2016 for the Lions. So that's 8. Best season ever in the NFL, two guys. You had a couple guys at 7, Derek Carr and Peyton Manning, a bunch of guys at 6, and then you got a bunch of guys at 5, including 2025 Caleb Williams. So this is not like, oh, everybody does it. He is 3 away from having the most in one season ever. Just pointing that out. No one else has done 8 except for 2 guys, and he's 3 times away from doing it this one season with a lot of games left. So that's just a fact. You can put it in your pipe, smoke it, throw it in the trash, don't care.
Don't smoke it in your house.
It's just a fact.
I don't put my pipe in the trash.
You can blow it up the hood over your stove, whatever you want to do.
By the way, I do want to let the kids in know on my new favorite bit that really just tickles me, and Matt had mentioned it before, but Matt's agita over all the guys, all the QBs with the smudged black eyes. Black.
I think it actually pisses me off too. This is one of those things I'm going to.
It's not just quarterbacks, it's just white boys. It's just these crazy ass white boys. It's fucking Aiden Hutchinson has got that fucking doo doo all over his face.
I agree, it's stupid as shit, but how upset Matt gets about it really just tickles me. So, anyway,
the Aiden Hutchinson and McCarthy really gets me. You're playing indoors. I mean, I know like the dome in Minnesota is like weird, and the sun actually does come through. You know, but like Aiden Hutchinson, knock it off. You're inside.
It just reads as very Jesus-y to me.
The logical end of the bit was when the Islanders a few years ago had the game at Yankee Stadium and Cal Clutterbuck did an entire face
just
full
painted of his face. Yeah.
Did an entire face full of eye black, but everyone knows it's another tradition unlike any other is hockey players in blackface. So
Cal Clutterbuck, strangely good as an analyst, actually.
If you, if for any of our kids who spot a guy with smudged eye black on playing football, send a screenshot over to Matt.
You know, please. But when it comes to guys like J.J. McCarthy, I go back to the old Bernstein R.W. McCorders rant. You're not good enough to have a look.
I've always thought this, like, nowadays bench guys have like swag. What happened to having like the default create a player outfit if you're on the bench? You know what I mean? Like, you
right, like
you can't be wearing elbow braces and all this other
shit. Aiden Hutchinson does something. Well, he's like one of the best pass rushers in the league. Like, okay,
right.
J.J. McCarthy, you're gonna be holding the squeegee in a year and a half.
He's a Michigan man. He'll have a good job.
He can't go work for HBA. He's Michigan State.
I'm sure his dad's got an HVAC business in Naperville.
Right. He'll be running a Menards.
They'll give you a company car for that.
Yeah, but that's what I think of. Bernstein yelling about R.W. McCorders. You're not good enough to have a look. It's the Eddie Curry thing. Shave your damn head. When you average 25 points, then you can do all the things.
You wanted to look ahead, Sam, to this week.
Yeah, I we should look ahead. We were discussing this in the real show, the pre-show meeting. I'm pretty sure Aaron Rodgers is not going to play, and I think that's actually worse for the Bears.
Because you want the guy who has a broken hand to play.
I want the guy who has a broken hand, refuses to throw the ball more than 5 yards downfield.
With a good hand, he refuses to throw
the ball. Yeah, with the good hand.
Right.
And look, we all want catharsis. Like, we're not going to make it equal. We're not going to make up for all the things we've been through.
We're not even beating the same team.
We're not even beating the same team, but, like, we can get one.
Just wait, my friends.
We can get one against this guy.
Right.
But I think he's going to make a huge production of, well, it's all about protection and safety, and I want to play, but, you know,
told me not to. Yeah.
Yeah, nothing says I can't protect myself. Guy who listens to a doctor more than Aaron Rodgers.
He's been immunized against a broken wrist.
But, like, I'm under no delusions whether he plays, whether he doesn't. Every Bears game is just going to be itchy. Like, they're just going to be itchy. It's what it is.
Yeah, they're an average team that knows how to win games and has a clutch quarterback and a non-moron coach. How you become the way you are, 7-3. That gives you more
margins, yeah.
It's great. That's what you're supposed to do. It's all good. I don't know why certain people, no one here, of course, are acting like it's fluky or bad. Like, see, you're beating the shit teams you're supposed to beat. What are you talking about? It's great.
Well, and let the record show, too, by the way, it'll be very gratifying if someone puts cracker-ass racist Mason Rudolph in the fucking dirt, too.
Yeah, that would be cool, too.
Yeah, all for it.
Let me ask this. If they win on Sunday, however it comes about, it doesn't matter. I'm not gonna do this again. If they win, I'm gonna be excited. And they get to 8-3. Do they have to make the playoffs then?
Yes.
Because you can easily sketch out and finish the season where they go like 1-5.
It's terrifying to think that if they win this game and only need two wins to get in the playoffs and don't get it, that's gonna feel awful. I'm not going to lie.
Much to John's chagrin, it's shaping up, too, given the way that the West is sorting itself out, that Sunday nighter in Santa Clara is going to factor in heavily for NFC
wildcard. Oh, I'm already assuming the position for that.
Which position?
Under my couch, not watching, covered in blankets.
I thought you were going to say covered in blood.
And that too. Covered in blood and blankets.
Yeah, I mean, because like on the surface, they go 9-8. That's a massive improvement of the season before. It's what we said they would do. You know, there are things here to build on. You know, everything looks like they will be better next year.
I suppose it all depends. Again, not there are any good losses, but like it will suck shit if they do not make the playoffs, if they get to the 8-3 mark after this Sunday. But like, defense is real bad, and you're going to be playing some good teams. Like,
if Kyler and Jalen are back, now what?
Defensive line.
But then,
is it better if the coverage is better? Probably a little bit.
Usually works the other way.
You're going to get me sweaty, Andrew.
Look, the point is, if they're both
Dennis can
back,
do more aggressive stuff with the line.
And listen, man, if you're telling me your cornerbacks are now Jalen Johnson, Tyreek Stevenson, C.J. Gardner-Johnson.
He's out you too.
And he's playing. He practiced today, so he's definitely playing.
Kyler Gordon and Kevin Byard.
I mean, this is the secondary we were promised, plus Gardner-Johnson, who's been – he's on the verge of becoming a folk hero of sorts. So, and, you know, then Nashawn Wright can go sit down and look at the Microsoft Surface for the rest of the game, which would be fantastic.
Slag, we can't answer it. We haven't seen it. We don't
know. I
know,
but this is part of what I said earlier. Dream a little bit. Allow yourself.
Oh, I'm going to dream a little bit. Like, but I'm going to say, if they win on Sunday and they get to 8-3, I'm not going to sit here, you know, I'm not going to be like, oh, the preseason, whoever the writer was, if they don't score on this preseason drive, it's like what happened?
That was Grody. He is a child.
But if you get to 8-3 and they can't find a way to 10, like 10 wins and you're in, right? Like, we pretty much get... They can't scratch away to 10 wins, and even still, that's a 2-4.
Well, and Green Bay having that tie will really fuck them. So,
I'm not gonna say like, oh, it's all ruined in 2020. Who cares about 2026? I'll still be excited about 2026 Bears
for sure.
But I would be a little deflated about this season if
everybody would. And I think you're lying if you say you wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
Now they could go 10-7. show up to the playoffs and get absolutely obliterated in the first round, and I don't care.
Yep.
Like, just getting there, getting to see the ads with the Bears on it, you know, getting to be part of a playoff wild card weekend, like, you know, come on. It's been 7 years, or I guess five, but who cares? No one counts 2020.
Yeah, I mean, it's important for that to happen, because then you can see if, they get their doors blown off, then where you'll have a very clear understanding of where their deficiencies are when it comes to getting out of the blob and getting and making the jump.
That said, you know, okay, we'll find out if the Eagles will blow their doors off. They seem to make things awfully hard on themselves.
Just ask the entire state of fucking Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be next week's show. You know, okay, if they ended up playing the Rams, probably going to get the doors blown off.
Yeah, but think about it. You know what, like, honestly, for me, if they get to the point where they get to play the Eagles or the Rams, or even the Lions again, if that's how that works out, who knows, and lose, like, 26-21 or something, I'm going to feel amazing, I think, after something. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, absolutely.
A competitive loss in a playoff game would feel unbelievable. It's just arrow pointing up in every way. I'm excited.
All right, then. That is our Bears segment, unless John has anything from the yellow pad that he doesn't want to leave engorged.
No, I think we talked about everything. Right. Looking forward to this week. I hope he does play, and I hope he does die.
I hope it happens.
It would be wonderful. All right, and we will pivot. In reverse order to the Westside Hockey Club. Some of our listeners will be doing the double on Sunday, I assume. Second there, I thought the game wasn't at home, but they're both at home. So
yep, a lot of sickos.
A lot of sickos. Matt's done it once.
Yep. I mean, Jesus, 20 years ago now. Rex's only 300-yard game.
When you were young and optimistic. Well, not optimistic, but young.
And drunk.
I suppose I will have to try one day, but it is not going to be Sunday. I guess I don't really have any Hawks thoughts. They're fun to watch and playing well, and I don't really know what else to add to it.
Much more enjoyable when I don't have to see either Foligno or Bertoilet's face out there, and it is basically kids.
I failed to mention this in my wrap today on my newsletter / website, but I will say, the game last night, and it's three lines and two guys, but without Foligno and without Bertoilet, they have speed on every line and, like, plus speed. I know Calgary is kind of woebegone, and that's not maybe a very good measuring stick, but, you know, same thing on Saturday night. They were just faster.
Who's the team that they're doing that to last year?
No one.
Yeah,
no one.
You say woebegone, but it's like there was no game where you're like, oh, talent-wise, the Hawks should probably win this game. That never happened.
It never happened. But the last two games, I was like, they, especially with Matthews not playing on Saturday, it's like they should win this game. And they did.
And they did. It's fun.
I'm very much looking forward to play a little bit, because that's going to be really the important, it's going to be the differentiator of this season. I feel like how they do against the teams like Nashville, Minnesota, not necessarily Colorado, because,
well,
I mean,
John's Minnesota is on its 30 out of 40 streak.
They are, and they're beating Carolina tonight, Sam. So
they are,
yeah. Nice. But it's important, I think, for the Hawks to see where the Hawks measure up with those teams. Because obviously you need to get 2 points. You can't afford to go whatever it was 0-5-1 against Nashville like they were last year. It has to be reversed.
Nashville's looking for a reason to quit,
right?
I'm looking forward to that.
I think the other thing, this whole next stretch is going to be very insightful in terms of where they're at. And I don't know if we noticed, did we notice that? I think it's a fun thing happening with San Jose, despite what the Reddit freaks think, it's very fun what's happening out in San Jose and coincided with the thing in Chicago. Bedard has the hat trick last night. And then did we see that Celebrini also had
one?
Yes,
he did.
Yes.
I find that to be very interesting and fun, too.
It's fun. It's probably really good for the league, like really good for the league, this kind of thing that's happening.
No question.
Having these two guys, I know that they have.
Well, and Leo Carlson, too, is among the top scorers in the league.
Right.
And the Ducks he might be playing better than the other two, but, you know, that's neither here nor there. It's good for the league. It's fun. Good. I don't know why. I mean, I guess I've dived into it too with comparing the two, but you know, that was back last year when, you know, Bedard was not doing this. And
he was a completely different player.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Entirely different era.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, one Petri Kontiola skating camp later, and here we are.
Turns out it works better when you're 20.
It does.
Than when you're 31 or whatever the fuck he was. 34. Whatever. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot to add. You know, we're a week away from American Thanksgiving, which is a benchmark. Unless the Hawks lose the next four, which they shouldn't. It's Seattle. I don't care what the numbers say. Seattle blows. And Buffalo, who's bad. And Minnesota's in there. Okay, Colorado, whatever. Nashville's in there.
I'll be at that game.
Yes, you will. And we know what your record's like.
I think it's pretty good.
It is pretty good. You know, but if they're in the playoffs by Thanksgiving, it's not that fans should expect them to maintain one, but kind of in the race.
You're saying you're pretty legit.
At least. You're certainly saying you've taken a step, and now it's time to get serious. And this is where we've always said, okay, now we find out if Kyle actually knows what he's doing. But you know, we're
It would be fun to have to see him sweat through a trade deadline where they can't just sell. But then again, you have like Matt's been saying for a while, like sell Murphy or Grizzle Dick or anybody who's not necessarily nailed down and just get them out of here. I think it's interesting, right? Because you can't really acquire too much. You need roster spots.
Well, I mean, they don't, even if they're out of the playoff spot, they should be done acquiring draft picks and prospects. You're filled out on that.
That's what I'm saying. So like you're saying, if they do make trades, they kind of have to be hockey trades.
Yeah.
Which is scary. It's a scary proposition from, I don't know.
Well, they made one for Spencer Knight. I mean, we got to give him props there. Like that's a hockey trade.
It's a scary proposition because, you know, whether or not he's had a track record is not the point. It's just
right.
It's going to be a big deal, and I think the one
that's how you have to do it these days. Free agency doesn't exist.
Correct. I just don't want to see like a premature we're giving up on Korchinski some kind of thing. That would piss me off.
If I want Korch to be here, and he should be here, and it's been fucked up for 2 years now, how he hasn't been here with any sort of consistency. However, I will understand if they trade him and like it, any portion of that gets parlayed into like a real piece elsewhere. Like
it's their position of strength.
Yeah.
Well, not if Sam Rizel stinks.
He played well yesterday.
He looked better last night.
I don't think he stinks. It's just that it was like way too early for these fucking clowns to. Yeah, I mean, I don't have to tell any of you. So
no, I mean the Calder projections and
that was annoying.
All that was, and we said at the time, this is silly. This is, you know, let's dial it back a bit.
But,
and look,
I mean,
I don't think one game against the Flames is going to keep him off the Rockford Express permanently. Like I still would not be shocked if he's spending Christmas in Winnipeg County. Like, you know, this stuff doesn't work like that.
Well, so. I mean, yes, it's all well and good for it to be silly, but the disturbing thing is that the Hawks bought into that and they fed that, and he was on the top pairing for 10 games.
Mm-hmm.
Well, kudos to the coach for changing mm-hmm. that. Like, he didn't just like say, all right, we're going to just force this all season long, which he could have. And I know that there's things that you guys have nitpicked about the structure and certain things, but overall, I mean, you cannot discount the impact of a real NHL coach is having on the group.
Yeah, it's. I mean, it's a different roster and a different situation, but it is sort of jarring that Luke Richardson was so far off of this.
Yeah, because way off.
Because he had the track record, he had the assistant, people really liked him. I know when hockey people really like a guy, that means nothing. And I don't know if Jeff Blashill is actually a good coach or not, but like what he has installed here is at least like a floor. And you know, it'd be real interesting if how involved Luke was signing all those veteran palookas they did a couple years ago that didn't go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, that's John, the past.
Losers and cowards.
Thank you. Do we have an America's favorite segment today?
You know what? I actually forgot to pull it up.
I forgot.
Do you want a moment to effort and we'll fill in the blanks, or is it gone forever?
Well, there was something I was given as part of the request for questions that I thought was worth digging into, and then I simply just didn't dig into it, unfortunately. But it was basically, there's a Reddit.
It's almost
about,
like you have a job and a newborn. This is bullshit.
No, I don't care.
Unacceptable.
Do your job.
There's a horrible picture of saying of on Hawks Reddit that says, all right, who's going to make this jersey happen? And it's half Connor Bedard, half Caleb Williams jersey that says 98 Bedliams on the back.
Ooh.
And I just said, I know exactly who's going to make that jersey happen.
Yeah,
and so do you. John, I'll let you do the honors.
His name is Schwartz Hockey.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, but then he can't put his own name on the back. And isn't he a Jets fan?
It's true. Or no, Mets fan. He's a Mets fan.
He's a transplant.
Yeah.
We know too much about this man.
Yeah, that's on you guys. I wouldn't go around telling people that.
Yeah, I don't even look at Reddit since like the one time I did, I saw my name associated with multiple like death threats. So like no,
that was just me.
Sam's burners.
It's just I mean, you know, but I call you with that every day.
Yeah, you at least yeah.
Well. Then I guess I'll apologize to the kids for not having an America's Favorite segment. I should run a tighter ship here.
We were close to canceling Illini Corner, but Baby Page has taken us out of the depths. So
is he
that
baby? Is he like 23?
Yeah. I don't
His
know.
His dad Pappy's, still looks the same, by the way.
Pappy's in the stands, and he's having a great time tonight.
Oh,
not
yeah.
Where Mama Page is at. She could be at Nine Muses in Greektown. We'll send our sources
there?
Out.
Are they she's playing at the United?
Is she Greek?
Yeah, she's a famous Greek actress.
Is she? I don't know anything about Payas to his personal life. Good for him.
Yeah. She was in My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
No, she was not.
Oh, okay.
She's in Greek TV and Greek movies, not American stuff.
I have a friend who's
she goes. She lives
French
in Greece.
Actress.
You don't know her.
Yeah, she's in Gollywood. Gollywood.
She went to the University of Athens. She doesn't go here.
Oh. She's doing... Paya's doing quite well for himself.
I would hope so.
A quick Google.
A quick Google and good for him.
Hey, I'm going to have to do this myself.
So age appropriate as well.
She doesn't seem to be coming to these basketball games, though.
She's got better things to do.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, even John can't be bothered to go to these basketball games. It's right down the street. You know.
She looks like Greek Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah, that's not a bad way to be.
No, that'll play.
That'll play for old Peja.
Mm-hmm.
No wonder he looks so serene in the stands tonight.
He's a satisfied man.
Yeah, I should say. All right, well, I guess we'll get to the Cretans then. Is that what follows?
Yeah,
I have a few.
Go for it.
People are curious tonight. They're pretty standard. Surf and Duck, maybe a new guy. Is it a good value to trade Oliver Miller? Yeah, I know it's more. While his trade value is still highish. As always, it depends on the return. I don't know that his value is all that high at the moment.
I think he's got good enough. He plays at speed. He plays at enough speed that like. any lack of sense that he might have, like, it's slow enough for him. Like, that pass in the slot last night, or Tuesday, whenever you happen to be listening to this, that was the initial shot on the Hakinato goal. I mean, that was a serious look right there, off of, you know, an honest to God NHL cycle. So I think the floor on that is, again, PK weapon and bottom six speed guy, which you can't have enough of those.
Yeah, that's a good thing to have. But I don't know that nets you a lot in a trade, but yeah, if you're going to fleece someone, everyone besides Bedard is available.
You know, we obviously we've made all the Stahlberg comparisons, and justifiably so, although old Oliver Miller does not have the Stahlberg complexion just yet. Maybe you want to grow out of that a little bit.
Well, he's like 20.
But that's what I'm saying. But, like,
Stahlberg wasn't ginger as fuck.
Too greasy.
Yeah. Speaking of greasy goals. Ugh.
Stahlberg was just an extremely good-looking guy, so.
He really was.
Oliver Miller has work to do.
Another guy who hit on Matt and my friend. Russ Pearlman, if the Hawks are still playing decently in January, we sort of went over this. Do you think that they should trade for someone like Alex Tuch or similar scoring winger to actually try and make a splash in this year's playoffs? All right.
So
pump the brakes a bit there, but
I'm not paying Alex Tuch 10 mil though.
Yeah, the issue is if you trade for him, then you got to extend him, right?
Yeah, well, I think if the Hawks were in it, just in the playoff race, I wouldn't want to see them
floating around the periphery of it.
I wouldn't want to see them do any rent a play or anything like that. But if they were genuinely interested in trading for Alex Tuch and signing him or someone like that,
yeah,
I'd be all for it.
And generally, too, if they're interested in. If they're interested in a long-term signing, then sometimes, sometimes opposing teams will allow for players to contact or teams to contact representatives saying, like, this is what we're thinking. Could something be worked out if you were to come here?
Yeah.
Sort of
that
thing.
That happens all the time.
And then the teams can take a step back. Like, is this somewhere we like, but what the fuck did, what did I call it? The room temperature, Adrian Kempe or whoever, what did he just get?
11 million.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, but you're not paying anyone else.
Salary cap's too high, Sam.
I mean, Alex Tuch is he's almost exactly what they need. I guess I'd be a little worried about his age, but whatever. He's not like 34. And B, it would finally close the loop with Zawoski over Kirby Doc and the Alex Tuch discussion that we had all those years ago.
Kirby Doc, who broke his foot again, is not again. For 6 weeks.
He's made of graham crackers.
Terrible.
Headphone Easy Rider.
Crypto Farcoin.
This one's for me. Does Kevin Warren still position himself and his hallelujah hands right over BJ's shoulder when the cameras are rolling after the Bears lose? No, he does not. But he is always strategically positioned.
Not strategically positioned enough in the actual like lobbying sessions.
Can't forget that one.
At Arlington Heights town halls. But if there's a camera there.
And last one I have, Alex August, my wife has convinced me that Ben Johnson has serial killer eyes. Do you agree? Bonus question, if he does, what would Ben's serial killer name be?
I mean, we have to do the obligatory serial. He should have specified complimentary or derogatory on serial killer eyes.
I'm going to go with derogatory.
We're going to call him the Route Tree Killer.
There you go. I'll take it. Because I wasn't going to come up with anything.
Good, better, best Slayer.
Yeah.
So that's what I have.
All right.
I don't know. I'm not a true crime guy. Unless JW from Park Ridge is calling.
That old line stinks.
What's on the main feed?
Kind of like those bodies under my house. Okay.
Okay. I'll hang up and listen.
I have
loved watching you play, Doug and OB.
Slash got a few. I apologize.
Yeah, I do. I don't know how to answer this one. I'm going to start with Short Circuit, old friend of the program. I can't believe I'm asking this, but assuming the Hawks are playing a top five team and the Bears are playing a top five team, which team do you have more confidence in to either win or at least hold their own? I can't believe I think it might be the Hawks.
One reason, my friend, Spencer Knight.
Yeah, I think that's the clincher right there.
Well, that and it just if it's a single game, hockey's hockey. Like,
right. Well, right, but the Hawks have star power on both sides. The Bears don't.
Well, we're going to find out in about a week and a half with both because they got Colorado and the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So we're going to know who's gonna fare better.
Yeah, that's not top five for the Hawks. That's top one.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the Eagles are the defending champs, so technically.
Right, but you know, you wouldn't consider them the class above everyone else in the league right now.
No, but you could top five them.
Oh, easily.
All right. That was good. Headphone Easy Rider, Crypto Fart Coin.
Oh, he's
also,
busy.
Oh, two first, also two asked me. Well, we got very passionate listeners, very patient. Have we seen enough now to officially declare number 98 the real deal, or is this season's Q1 revelation just Team Canada roster posturing?
And he's played for a contract.
Prima donna. I'm not going to go so far as declare him the real thing after 19 games?
20.
Is it 20 now?
Or no, 19, yeah.
We like his pace.
We like what we see.
we like our people's paces.
We like our pace. You know, as John says, October, November hockey, that's actually the real shit. Yeah. But, yeah, you got to do it a little longer, especially when teams actually start taking the Hawks seriously, which I'm not sure they are yet, but
yeah, but that's
we're encouraged. Answer. We're having fun.
As the person who doesn't have to write about the Blackhawks, I'm over the moon, personally. I feel like I'm watching one of the best players in the sport when I'm watching him, and I definitely did not feel that last year.
No.
So that's incredible to think about.
And there's also way more swag to him now.
So much. He's yelling at people. He's shoving guys. It's great.
That empty netter last night too was.
Oh, that was pimpy. That was nasty.
That was putting the nuts on the table.
That,
no,
I mean that was, and so was. I mean the second goal was.
Well, I didn't think Ryan Green had that pass in that club in the bag.
Actually, all of his goals were sick last night.
The second goal is the one where I really take notes because that's the goal where you're like there's like six guys in the league who can do that.
Well, yeah, because he put it between a stick and a leg, and then he put it through the armpit also.
Right. I mean, that's the goal we pictured him scoring when they drafted him. We're like, okay, he can do
that's,
this.
That's the Steph Curry shot right there.
They
right,
showed on, and yeah. I was watching the TNT pregame while kind of getting dinner ready or whatever. They'd spent a good 5 to 8 minutes on that shot in a pregame for a game that the Hawks are not in.
Right. I mean, well, if you think about the physics of getting that much on it from where he actually ends up shooting it, it's.
And for how short of time it was on his stick.
Right. Like,
it's
that's
crazy. So, like, that's. But the point is, like, that's where the Hawks are now. Is they have the guy that they're talking about on a pregame show that the team is not playing in.
Yeah. And he's. What's more encouraging is he's carrying them through because, you know, Nazar's hit a little bit of a wall here. He's been hurt.
Yep.
You know, the nice assist for Tavo, but he hasn't looked quite as good. He hasn't scored in a while, I don't think, right?
He's not lighting it up right now as far as points go, no.
You know, and you got Dickinson hurt, which, you know, is his thing. You know, a couple other injuries, and Bedard's playing so well, they've been able to play over that. And that's
well, having that backstop back there, too, is definitely helped.
You're right. It's Bedard and the two goalies. Arvid Fever's playing well. And they're playing over it, and that's encouraging.
Yeah, it's fun.
All right, what else?
Arvid's got a 9-12. It'll work.
Well, I think the Hawks collectively have the best goalie save percentage in the league. I can
indeed.
I can effort
Nope.
No,
you don't have to.
They showed it last night. And,
but yeah, then he promptly, gave up a goal right after they showed that graphic.
Right, and then he also did the Louis Crevier's been great in the penalty kill as he was staring at Coronado just at the base of the net there.
And he got out muscles.
That was not.
How are
acceptable.
You a 6'8 guy and get, well, I mean, the fucking, the 6'8 asshole on Calgary got out muzzled a couple times. That fucking.
That guy's just Shel Samuelson.
I completely agree that he stunk the ice up on that goal.
Stunk dick.
Do you guys not see an ounce of what the organization sees in him? Like, do you
see
nothing?
Oh, no, I totally see what they see in him. And Louis Crevier is a 6 or 7 defenseman. That's fine.
Okay.
It just seems like they're way more invested in his development than Korchinski's, which doesn't make any sense.
He's being marketed incorrectly. May I make a suggestion?
Okay.
Go on.
They should only talk about the fact that he shoots a slap shot over 100 miles an hour.
Right.
Every kid in the city will worship this guy. Because I know for me as a kid, I thought Al Iafrated was the coolest fucking guy on earth. He might.
That's why you wear your hair like this to this day.
He did. John's right here to tell you.
See, that's my point. I thought he ruled. I had no idea he sucked. So that's all you got to do. And yes, Louis Crevier should grow a skullet. That would help tremendously.
If he grew a skullet, I'll take everything.
And
back.
And wear the big diaper model breezers.
Yeah.
Okay. We agree here. If Louis Crevier got a skullet and wore a big diaper, he
got diaped.
Get diaped.
Am I remembering that correctly? Yeah. Or did Al Iafrated just have like an enormous ass and enormous pants?
I feel like you could go either way.
I don't know what his ass looked like. all right. I got. This is for Sam and me real quick from Air Traffic AJ.
Of course.
Statlander is winning on Saturday, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so.
Absolutely. This is how they make her, because she's lost to Mercedes twice.
Correct. She's got to beat her. And Mercedes not being able to win the one title that is
right,
the most important.
That's a cool story to run with.
That's a good story.
She can't win the big one.
One more from Captain's Beard. Not sure if he's crapped before, but if it is, thanks for your first crap. Illini corner before it's canceled. They're down 3 currently with 3 minutes left in this game.
You better hurry.
Has Brad finally assembled a team that can out rebound all of his in-game coaching blunders?
Why are you watching tonight? Because no. Because they can't out rebound anybody.
No. And they still play this Humbuckris dope who I cannot fucking stand. I don't understand.
Homunculus?
His name I can't even pronounce. Humor Cross? I have no idea what it is. He's
more humongous.
Yeah.
No white boy from Indiana should be allowed to be playing at this high of a level anymore in basketball.
No.
This isn't.
It's not the 50s. Get out of here. I'm not going to sing Angel Baby in my giant car and look over a cliff and trying to make out with my best gal. Get the fuck out of here.
What?
The 50s, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I get it. Yeah. I might go look over a cliff before I jump off it, but, you know.
Well, if I watch this guy play.
Yeah, fair enough.
All right, I'm putting it in the chat right now. Al Iafrated was definitely diaped.
Is there a
thumbnail image for this week's episode, Matt?
What, the serial killer one or the ass?
Let's see.
The serial killer one is frightening.
The serial killer one.
It's terrifying.
He seems like he has a lot of like really good progressive thoughts about on society, you know.
I don't think he could spell society.
Unreal.
Are there main
that's
feed questions?
Skullet, Iafrated, by the way.
I think that's rookie. I think that might be rookie camp.
Please post the pod on the site, use that picture as the
Serial killer one?
Yeah, absolutely.
Done and done. All right, what do we got here? The armored loincloth.
What?
Good luck with your first crap.
Crap, yeah.
When will the OPP start screaming to extend Bertitties because he's now Bedard's human backdoor or whatever the hell Stuchism clown show is calling him these days?
last week.
Human backdoor.
I'm sure
human backdoor.
I got your human backdoor for you.
I bet you do.
It's probably already started if we were keeping up with America's favorite segment.
Doesn't he have like 14 years left on his contract?
He's got 2 years after this one, I believe.
Too many.
One, actually. It was a 4-year deal, right?
Yeah, 4-year.
All right. There's no chance they extend him, so stop.
You'd
it.
Hope.
Step it.
Boog Knight, a.k.a. Stunk Dick Haver.
Jesus Christ.
God, we cultivate a real unique brand of asshole on this show.
Has Roshan been banished to the land of wind and ghosts? He looked like a dude a couple years ago. Yes. Yeah, he concussed himself into Bolivian.
He stinks.
He concussed himself into a Bolivian.
Roshan is no good.
All right. Feldman across the hall.
Long-time guy.
Death is not an option. You have to sit on a 4-hour flight and talk bears the whole time. What seat are you choosing? Next to Danny Parkins, Dan Wienerer, or Hub and his parking lot?
Oof. I think I would have to choose Hub only, but I would only want to talk about the 80s Bears and his time in the booth with Butka.
That's really magnanimous of you.
I think I'd have to go with Wienerer, because I bet there's a level we can get to where it'd be fine. If you put me next to Parkins, I'm going to beat the shit out of him. And then they're going to get all the... Everyone's going to take off their belt and tie me to the seat. And that won't be too comfortable. And then Hub, I don't know. I feel like I'd be at risk of maybe killing Hub because he'd have a heart attack. I don't want that on my conscience. So I think Wienerer I could find a level with. Also, you assume that when I'm on a 4-hour flight, I'm not talking about the Bears?
I mean, I bet you I could, like, just even subliminally bully Hub into having a cigarette that I know that we all know he's dying to have, and then that. Well, just as soon as he gets off, but then
plane?
He, as soon as you get off the plane, because Sam, you know that either pre-flight or post-flight, as soon as you're able to smoke,
it's pretty great. I will say, if you drew Hub in this, you could probably get some really cool stories out of it.
That's where I'm at, Sam. That's
yeah,
what I
think John. I think John's got a real point there. That like, if you could bring yourself to be cordial and sort of engage him and try and make sure he doesn't find out who we are,
and you could probably get some dirt on him eventually saying something really racist.
I mean, yeah, sure, but
all right, Ginkgo Biloba. Where does Blaziel rank on your moronometers so far?
Well, remember,
it's binary. It's binary.
Did you say Blaziel?
No, I said Blaziel.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's binary, and it's too early yet. But he's right in the middle of the two. He could go either way.
But he still get that. Hence the incomplete. It's binary, but we're also allowed to give you an incomplete.
Yeah. It hasn't made up its mind yet. It hasn't gone.
If it's
left
binary,
or right.
If you can't say he's a moron, then he is not a moron.
At the moment, he is not a moron because we can't say he's a moron for sure. So
right.
Slack's right. If you can't be clearly identified as a moron, then you by default are not a moron.
Yep.
Schrodinger's moron.
Schrodinger's moron.
And lastly, at Pizza Snatcher. Is Colton Dock going to have a more useful NHL career than his brother made of glass?
I would say he already has.
That's tough.
I know he's not good at traditional hockey, for example.
I'm not sure Kirby is either.
Yeah, but that's my point. At least Colton Dock knows he's a giant guy who can just run people over. Like, that's fine for now.
And that's literally a line from like one of our favorite movies, Andrew, Dirty Work. And I'm grateful to have a friend like you who's a big oaf who can smash through walls.
Yeah, that's exactly it. It's all and he's good at it, so I'm fine with that. And he, you know, sometimes he. Sun shines on a dog's ass and he scores a goal.
Yeah, at least when like Colton Dock falling down has got a little more, like, because Kirby is like, he's like, again, Bambi on ice out there. Colton Dock's at least got a little more ass to him, so if he's going to fall into somebody.
He's got Al Iafredi's ass. But here's the other thing, Colton Dock. Here's the other thing Colton Dock has, or doesn't have, should say, the weight of the expectations of being the third overall pick. So if he's fine or bad.
Truthfully, his career's already a victory as like a fourth or fifth
round
pick.
That's exactly right. Yes.
He was a second round pick, let the record show, but you know.
Okay. Well
then he's got a little more to do.
second round picks are historically not much. I'm okay with that. Point is, he wasn't third overall, which right. should not be a guy in the sixth.
It's honestly a crapshoot pass pick 10.
Yeah. Colton Dock is better than Kirby Dock. Fact. Stamped. Judge Judy's adjourned.
Judge Judy and executioner.
Judge Judy and executioner.
And lastly,
that was lastly.
I found another one.
Okay.
Masked Marvel asks, is Foligno's IR stint the beginning of the end? Probably not.
Hopefully.
No
way. No, they love him.
They love him. I guess I'm curious if they call up. Well, it's probably not a matter till the spring, because even if they call up Lardis, there's room for him. But once you start bringing in Boisvert and
his IR stint, though, I feel like last night, though, seriously was beginning to lay the foundation with the kid getting the letter on his jersey this time around, though. Like that might actually start to begin like some phase out kind of stuff.
And until they officially announce they won't do it, I've already prepared for an announcement of a 1-year extension for Foligno.
Oh, I think this is it.
I think in the spring, if they bring any of those kids over or from college, and the roster starts to get a little crowded, I wonder if they would actually.
And
start
of course,
to
he will frame himself as being very noble about it. He'll go out of his way to say he's doing what's best. For the
They'll tell him, we'll give you a either a coaching job or front office thing. If you retire, we don't have the spot. We'll take care of you. Whatever.
I think he knows this is the only place he could play. So it'll be interesting. Like, he's out for a month. If they play really well without him, you know, then what? But let's worry about that another time.
Is Boisvert supposed to leave college after this year?
I was under the impression that he was, but he's been hurt, right?
Boys avert.
And then there's him. There's Kantsarov, who I don't think would come over this season.
And Clearasil maybe is in D1 though.
Isn't Clearasil a freshman?
He's
though?
A freshman. Yeah, he's going to be there for another year.
I mean, I only say about Boisvert. I know he's a transfer.
There's one other guy for next year.
My rule is like, if a guy doesn't leave college after his sophomore year, don't worry about it. He's not good. Like, it's just not.
Was Ryan Green a sophomore?
He was a junior, so.
I was wondering why. I figured,
but again,
if
he's a plug, that's not going to get you killed if he has to play on the top six and he knows to find that guy like that, then.
Yeah. Right,
again,
but that's like, better than I'm just a talking lot about those guys. Yeah. Like, yeah. Is this guy going to be a top six or top four player?
Oh, who, like, you're talking about Boisvert or whatever?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
Right, like, but I mean, my general is like, if they don't leave after their sophomore year, then I don't worry about them as a top of the roster player. Like,
he plays somewhere in the bottom with Oliver Miller.
Well, they got plenty of those guys.
I think Kantsarov is the guy I'm most interested in. I think during the season or
at the end of the season.
Well,
what if
Clearasil makes the jump? And we're talking about what's his name, Nestrasil.
Sure.
Is that,
we don't have to talk about this right now. They're playing well now.
Well, that's, I think the point is, you know.
Yeah. The point is, well, we should be getting less of Foligno, and hopefully we will. There.
By the way, Matt Nestrasil is literally 18 years old. I can't imagine he's. Although he's scoring a fuck ton in college already, so.
Right. He's playing like a real conference, too.
He's in UMass. He's got 15 points in 13 games. That's probably pretty good.
And does he have the beloved size that they're looking for? Oh, 6'6".
He's huge. And he's,
yeah, he's a big boy.
Apparently a complete asshole on the ice, which...
We love it, don't
we,
folks?
Seems very fun to me, yeah.
Right. The opposite of Kantsarov.
He's their second leading scorer. Pretty good.
All right, then.
Yep.
I will go ahead and make an announcement for the boys. We will be taking next week off because there just isn't a night we can do it.
Thanks, boss.
So we will be back to wrap up the Steelers and the Eagles game.
My two favorite places.
Yes. For John, for Matt, for Slack, I am Sam. We are all wishing you a very happy and safe Thanksgiving. Whatever you decide to dine on. As you know, I go a little left to center. Thank you for listening and downloading. Please rate, review, and share. Until after the holiday, Top Guys out. And the gravity!